down the runway, hand in hand. As we take off, we've got our home flight plan. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm a-loving you. As we take off on the go, we don't need air traffic control. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm a-loving you. As we begin to gain altitude, just like North, their love is true. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm a-loving you. Well, around the world, many things I've seen.
Welcome to No Biz Like Showbiz. This is Randall Rutledge.
And this is James Turner from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Leave it Las Vegas, Bubba. Fly her off.
I'll tell you what, I've had some real fun this week. We certainly have a lot to share with the stuff going on. But anyway, so how's things going with you, buddy?
Pretty good. Went over to Asheville, North Carolina Friday, just kind of checking things out. There's a pretty good entertainment hub there, film production, music, and just kind of checking it out there, shaking the bushes there, thinking about creating a presence in Asheville, Nashville. Yeah, that rhymes.
It does.
So we're going to look, all tongue-tied here. Before going any further here, I'd like to mention my website designer for www.randallrutledge.com was designed by 52designs.net. So if anybody listening out there needs a website, the guy's real good and give you a good rate.
No, I like your website. It's it looks cool.
And what happened to you this weekend? What did you do?
Well, I had an interesting and a pretty cool week, past week, actually, because last week they had the bikini parade here in Las Vegas down at the Fashion Show Mall.
Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, it was quite a treat. I ended up getting fortunate enough to have the day off, and they were first celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Las Vegas sign. And they were going to break the Guinness Book of World Records for the most bikinis girls in a parade. So that was it. They had a total of 281, I think, by the time they were done. But I was there for pretty much the whole thing, and it was fascinating. Got some great pictures and video that if we were a live broadcast of some kind or something where maybe we have a place we can put some pictures, then show you the sights. But it was fun. Yeah, no, it was great. It was interesting. And got to see Miss Venezuela, which she was the number one, I think, out of the crowd. But it was great. Showgirls, the whole ball of wax. So
cool.
It was a fun afternoon. Yeah, I'll have to show you the pictures and put them up somewhere, but great video and
cool.
It was fun.
If anybody out there listening, if you want to give us a call in and shout with me or James, give us a call at 1-888-815-9756 right here on No Biz Like Showbiz on bbsradio.com.
All right,
so what's been up to there, partner?
Well, other than that, just work still, working on everything, but, taking my time and getting everything together. So, got a couple of shows and ideas and stuff working on, and just working on new songs right now I'm going to do a video with those videos I got of the girls of some kind. So, some kind of little spoof or something I'll do with it. So I've got all the gear now.
So cool.
I'm going to have fun. Yeah, it'll be fun to do that. Because it is. I mean, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, something like that with a bikini parade. Come on. Where are you going to see that in any other town?
You're not going to see it here in the Bible Belt, I guarantee you that. That's unfortunate for us.
But it's really funny. Here we go. I met this guy over there. This guy was, he was up all night. Evidently, long story short, he was just over at the Hard Rock shooting that Sean P. Diddy movie, and I forget who else is in it. But they were shooting over there for a few days last week, 3 or 4 days. There's like a car wreck out there and stuff. And anyway, he was just totally wiped out, Randall. I mean, this guy was still from partying all night, you know. But he was in the film. He was doing something in the film. Not a huge principal part, but doing some featured stuff in the film. He was telling me about it, but it was an interesting conversation, and so I was getting him to invite me over. This is how you do it, people. These are the lessons. And so I thought, well, geez, all I need to do, and I was telling him, we were talking about the business, so that, you know, it's like I'll do stuff just to be there. If I'm there, then I know that I have the opportunity to not only make connections, but, you know, hey, we need somebody to do this or somebody to do that. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. You know,
networking.
You know how it works.
Yep.
You know, I started off on many different legs and ended up doing 4 or 5 legs on the same show, from craft service to whatever. Anyway, my point is, so I got him to let me. I told him, you know, well, shoot, I'll come over there and check it out. And I was going to get in, and then he mentioned a buddy of his who told him about it and said that it was through a casting company by the name of David Anthony Casting here in Las Vegas. There's a little tip for everybody. If you want to start getting into any extra work here or casting work for little pieces, extra work, you know, you never know. That's how you just get going. You can get online to David Ann. I'm not advertising for him or anything. He's just one outlet that I do know of, and since I'm talking about it, I might as well share it with you. So, DavidAnthonyCaston.com, I think is where he is. Anyway,
yeah, you're asking if he wants to advertise on the show.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Well, my point is that when I was doing a lot of stuff last year and doing a lot of research, I ran across David Anthony Casting and all this stuff. In fact, he had actually called me for a few things, but unfortunately I was busy at the time and I couldn't do it. And so anyway, I know the casting agency that this guy was working through too, that I was talking to here at the mall over there with the bikini parade going on. Right after it was over, we were talking.
It
was just funny, you know. It was just and then next thing I know, we're changing phone numbers. I'm going to meet him over there. I was going to go over there and get on the set, just ask for him and get in there, and then I could do my stuff. You know, once I'm in there, then I, you know, all I got to do is, do the stuff and end up, you know, going somewhere. You can't go wrong. That's how I do it.
Well, that's like I mentioned in my book, From Movie City to Music City USA, My Journey Through Showbiz and How It Works, on the as far as a couple of legitimate agencies in the Los Angeles market, Central Casting, they are the largest extras casting agency out there.
Right.
And background talent, what they do is they put extras in background in national TV commercials. So I work a lot with Debbie through background talent. So
Right. Those
are two in the L.A. market that I know definitely gets you a lot of work.
Right.
To kind of help you, you know, if you're in the L.A. market or just moved out from the Midwest or wherever, don't know where to start, go to Central Casting, go to Background Talent, and if you're in Las Vegas, hey, go hook up with James Turner. He'll help you out.
Right. All you got to do is get started, you know. And then it's a matter of having the schedule to do something, because they will call you. You'll get cast. You'll get some extra work. You'll get some jobs, and then you'll start making friends, and you'll start making connections, and then it's up to you. You know?
It was like again, if anyone's listening, you want to call in and talk to myself or James, toll free 1-888-815-9756. Anything else out there you could tell our listeners, James, as far as? We both know how Hollywood ticks. You would be more into knowing how Las Vegas ticks. Is it similar to Hollywood, or is it a little bit different?
I'd say it's more than a little bit different. I don't know about a lot different, but I'd say it's definitely more than a little bit different, just because it, Las Vegas is what it is. So, I don't have to explain all of that, but as far as even just the entertainment industry, this is what this town is, the entertainment capital of the world, in that sense. It's different, though, from Hollywood and L.A., as far as being more stage shows. We have a lot of Cirque du Soleil. They've got quite a few. We're Cirque out. Everybody says it. We all say out. We're just Cirque du Soleil out. So there's, some overkill in some of the stuff, and there's a lot of room for fresh stuff all the time.
So would you say Las Vegas is more talent-friendly than Hollywood is, as far as maybe at least giving you some sort of opportunity or providing you with at least more auditions for a chance?
I certainly know that George Clooney was just here. Oh, I was driving yesterday back to the airport on one of my, from work, and I went past the sign because it's right down, I can see the sign right from my office. Over here by the airport on Las Vegas Boulevard itself. And I drove by and Conan O'Brien is standing out there, and the guy with the camera's out there, and he's shooting out there.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great. So this is stuff that I see every day, I wanted to pull over and get his autograph, but.
I'm just wondering when Conan's going to actually take Jay Leno's spot.
In June.
June. Okay, I was wondering. I thought it was this month. I keep seeing Jay on, but
So anyway, my point is that they've been shooting things here. I mentioned George Clooney a second ago, and I said that because he was just here shooting a small thing. They shoot a lot of small things here. There's pieces of stuff and pieces in films where part of it is them going through Las Vegas, being in Las Vegas, going to Las Vegas, whatever it is. And there's a lot of advertising and marketing that goes on out here that with the conventions and stuff. I've done lots of conventions and industrial shows, we call them, for Cisco Systems, Toyota, Hewlett Packard, Mercedes-Benz, Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, the drug companies, the major drug companies. They put on full productions, with talent. I've worked with Penn & Teller and Hootie and the Blowfish and all that. So, set up the green room. I do all kinds of stuff, in the operations and that stuff. But that's a big market here, too. So there's a lot of opportunity in Vegas in a lot of different ways because it's really a tourist, just the way it's set up. And mm-hmm. the tourist industry is, you could be a waiter, bartender, whatever. And they make good money here, They make really good money here. So those are great occupations.
Well, I'll be out there September, as we've discussed, kicking it around. We still have the TV series that I created to try to get out there to the networks, Bright Light City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be toot my own horn, or I'm trying to be egotistical, but I think Bright Light City would have a better following than CSI.
Hey, it's as good of a try as any of the other crap that they've come up with. Vegas with James Caan and all, but it's always the same thing. Certainly Ocean's 11 and 12 and even Honeymoon to Vegas, there's a little bit in there, but it's an off Vegas thing. 3,000 miles to Graceland, all this stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing about, you know as well as I do with Bright Light City, when we were shopping it before there with the bogus guys that never panned out, I think they were just more wanting our projects some anticipated gross income and our budget breakdowns because they didn't know what they were doing, just trying to pick our brains for information and never hear back from them again.
Right, and then again, I was in one of the local series that they tried to get off, and it was produced by Jill Silver from he was with Richard Donner, and they produced Lethal Weapons and some other stuff. But he did The Strip, it was called, and I was actually in, I think, 3 episodes of that, and one of them quite a few times. I mean, throughout this whole episode, I am, you'll see me in the background, like, I don't know how many times, man. I made sure that if I ever got to walk by, I'll point it, a couple of shots. It's hard to see because it's a little dark, and it's in a strip club, but this one episode, it's funny, just for that little piece, because that's what I was doing. And I'm telling you, about 3 or 4 times, you can see me. It's like, how in the hell is he doing? I was a door guy. I was a patron inside, walking back and forth. I'm going to show you, and I have it. I mean, if I could put it up and show it, you'll see me 3 or 4 times in there, man. So anyway, I was in that, and that, it started off good. And it was, the first one was the best one, but I heard they spent, a lot of money on it. Whatever. I don't know, it lasted 9 episodes, and that was it, so.
Well, it just goes to prove my point about some of what I'm talking about in my book, From Movie City to Music City, USA. Even known names, known producers, even they can get rejected
by
the major studios or the network. So don't think just because someone's Brian De Palma or Steven Spielberg, they can't get turned down themselves.
It happens to, it's what I was, saying last week about, what stories that you wouldn't believe that the stars would tell. If you ever watched Inside Actors Studio with James Lipton, which you know what I'm talking about, I watch it all the time. And not only because I'm interested in who it is, I don't care if it's Tom Cruise or Dustin Hoffman or Al Pacino or any of them, man, you learn so much from them during that time with James Lipton there on the show. They do a great job on that, man. It's pretty cool to learn from them, because you really do learn where they're coming from as an actor and how they create their art and how they project it and how they, just all the different things and experiences. It's pretty good.
Well, it's like when I produced the Street Singers, that was created and directed by David E. Durston, who is a 7-time Emmy Award winner for the TV show Your Hit Parade back in the 1950s. I had been talking to what I like to call the gatekeeper or the buffer to the powers that be, about a 25-year-old kid at ABC networks at the time, and I told him, I said, but Dave Durson's won 7 Emmys. So then he kind of started having me think that now he's interested in possibly considering Street Singers for network pickup, at least give it to the powers that be in her next meeting to see what's going to come out in the fall or what pilots are going to run. When did he win these Emmys? Well, back in the 1950s, wow, what were the Emmys for? Well, the TV show Your Hit Parade. He goes, well, what has he done lately? Has he won any Emmys like yesterday? So, it was just really frustrating for me. I just basically turned around and walked out. So I knew that was my cue to show myself to the door, because the guy he didn't care about Dave Durston. And if you're no longer bankable, as they say in the industry, they don't want you, period. Everybody becomes a has-been at some point in time, or the older you get, the more difficult it becomes to even get insurance for an actor or whatever.
It just goes to the flip side of, it's those lucky breaks that people talk about that they get. And that's what, as I said before, you just don't know how long it's going to take you. And it takes people years to develop either their skills or develop their connections or develop whatever, or it's just the time passing to where they get that lucky break, and that's it. And it's who you know as well as what you do.
Like you say, I mean, some people don't realize maybe you've got a recording artist or a band that's up at the top, but you don't realize that 12 to 20 years they played all the local pubs and the, you know, 12, 10, 15, 20 years before they even got that record deal.
Uh-huh.
And projected into stardom, because you don't wake up being a star by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you don't, you can't just walk into it and claim it.
Right.
There's so many people out there trying to stop you from getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but that's just the way, that's the way it works.
Uh-huh.
Again, anybody out there listening, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-815-9756. And again, if you need a website, check out 52designs.net. Fella's good, and it'll give you a good deal.
Look, now I'll tell you another reality, though, that I was actually reminded of, because I guess I do know that, and I've heard that before, but because I knew a girl that was, she was actually in, was it Tony and Tina's Wedding, I think. She played a nun, a great singer. She could sing, this girl. Saw her out at the Orleans karaoke, and one night was over there singing. She had a great voice, but she was saying how she didn't really get paid that much, you know, per show. I mean, I don't know how they, it's a tough business, you know, being in, and because there's so many things you can do, dancing and singing out here. I mean, you really do.
Oh, yeah.
It's so compact that really you can, and all the talent's here all the time in Las Vegas. I mean, they're always here partying, or hanging out, or eating dinner, you know, eating at all the restaurants or whatever. So I see them all the time. They're out there.
Well, that reminds me, when you said that, not getting paid that much, going just a little bit different direction here. Back in the early 1980s, I used to book bands, and was in one situation where at the end of the night, the guy said, well, we can't pay you guys the rest of the money we owe you. We didn't sell enough beer tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, needless to say, I was frustrated. That was fit to be tied. And I just told the guys, well, you know, it's not our job to sell you beer. Our job is to get people on the dance floor and liking the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, there's just so many ways.
I've heard that kind story. I just heard that story before, because I know you mentioned this before, but it was really funny because somebody told me this story before, of the same thing that they went through, and I was totally deja vuing. And, you know, he said the same thing, you know, similar circumstances. They played somewhere, beer, the whole thing, didn't pay off, whatever, didn't get a lot of people. Anyway.
That seems to be the common denominator.
Yeah, right, you know. But that stuff is just part of the business.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna run into it. I mean, you know, it's always great when you are able to work with those that have the utmost integrity,
mm-hmm.
on both sides of the fence. I mean,
compared to and continuing what we were talking, compared to L.A. and Las Vegas. It's just different in those aspects that we were talking about. But you can get into business fairly easily here. I mean, if you want to come out to Las Vegas and get into the film, television, music, whatever, and a lot of it's union. So, you know, depending on where you're at, where you want to go, there's a lot of opportunity here in that. So that's why I like Las Vegas, and it's showbiz. I like the old-style showbiz. We just went and saw Earl Turner and Lonnie Misalucha over at the Hilton. I think I told you that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it was a small setting, the old lounge-type kind of stage. The band was around the stage, like I said. It was very good. She sang from opera to Britney Spears. I mean, it was a really good show. But it was cool. That kind of shows are unique anymore, and they were pretty good. So stuff like that, you know, I always go to the shows, and I go for free. You know, once you become a local here and learn the town, there's a lot of great benefits. But, you know, it's a different world than Hollywood and L.A., you know. So,
you know, I got to tell our listeners, if anybody's listening out there, I remember the Christmas that we were in Vegas with you and your son.
They're
and
not
the,
going to believe that.
And the Japanese tourists thought you were part of the show.
So it's Christmas Eve. I talked everybody out to coming because we got it. This is funny. And so my friends are staying at the Rio. So he said, well, why don't we gather up in their room, up in their suite up there, and we'll all get together for, you know, the Christmas Eve gathering, all of us together. So I had Randall and other friends, and we just had my kids and their girlfriends and blah, 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 blah. So there was a bunch of us there, and then so we went down to the casino area and the lounge and the bar. And what they did was, quite a few years ago, was they came up with Bevertainers. So now what they do is the waiters, waitresses, which usually the waitresses, and that are, they'll stop in the middle of the, you know, the day a few times. I don't know if it's every hour, whatever, half hour. And they have these little podiums where they would get up there and sing. So not only did they have to serve now and do all that stuff, now they had to know, now they had to sing and had to be able to sing and entertain too. So hopefully that's, you know, more money for them. I don't know. But an interesting concept, I guess, just the same. But anyway, so we were all down there. We were at this bar. And they have the show in the sky in the Rio, and it's big. It's got floats that go around the ceiling, and there's people in there. The big, huge lit neon floats. It's a pretty cool parade, and it goes around, and they throw beads at everybody. And there's a second level with a balcony up there where you can see, and they go around and do that. So, and they have a stage where they do a big performance and all this stuff to the music. So, where I have my red suit on, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I've got my red suit on, and I look great, and I'm standing up there. I'm just saying it. I'm not being, you know. I mean, it looks great. We're having fun, and I'm up there on the podium. I jumped up there because there was nobody there, and they weren't doing it. And I'm standing up there singing and dancing to the music, and the Oriental people, the tourists are going by, taking pictures of me like I'm part of the show. I'm doing this while the show is going on. So they think I'm part of the show.
I was dying. That was so funny.
Everybody was busting up laughing. So that's that story. Yeah.
That was a fun one.
And I got it on video. Jim took the video of that, but that was hilarious. I'm all like, that was fun. We had a good time, though, right?
Oh, shoot, yeah. I mean, we're a motley crew. You're always decked out in your $1,000 suits, and I'm always text out.
Right.
Mr. Italiano in text.
Right. Oh, it's too funny, though. You know? And you know what I'm talking about. This town has a certain kind of energy. It has, you know, LA's different, man. And I think it's harder. I mean, I don't know.
But Vegas is a lot of fun. I mean, it's like you said, so many shows you can see at any given day, at any given time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm having such a good time here since I came out in 1999 for New Year's, and came out for vacation and fell in love and got an apartment, had it already set up, went home, packed my stuff, moved out a week later, and I've been here ever since.
Well, I got to tell you, my wife come across a picture the other day. In fact, I'm gonna photocopy it and send a copy of it to you. But it says Las Vegas Singers Roundup 2001 winners. Got me and you and Steve and everybody that were the winners for the 2001 Las Vegas Singers Roundup on KYRK TV channel 35. So I'm gonna send you a copy of this picture.
What is it? It's a picture.
Yeah, I think Chris had taken our picture that day when we were announcing the winners of the contest for Las Vegas Singers Roundup, but I've got it right. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. I'll send you a copy of this.
That would be, Randall, that is awesome because I had pictures. I had taken pictures when we were there with Nancy, if you remember, and I had it on my computer, my old one, and I can't find it. I can't get in and get it anywhere.
In fact, I think that
so
might have
bummed out.
I think that might have been the shot that Nancy had taken of us all on the stage inside the TV studio.
Right.
But Suzanne found it the other day, so I'll have to send you a copy of this.
Oh, right on.
So that was cool. Another thing to put in our memoirs.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as soon as I moved here, when did I start that? Was it May? May, about this time in 99, probably, I was in a feature film.
Cool.
Woody Harrelson and Antonio Banderas, and not as an extra. You know, I got a featured part, and it wasn't a speaking part, but it was a featured part, and it was a great experience. I made a lot of friends. That was my first film, my first big project. I was going to do a play. I had already got chosen for that. I auditioned for that, EGAD, What a Cad. I was doing that. And then I got the movie. I wasn't getting paid for EGAD, What a Cad. See, that was going to be for free. So I was going to do what I had to do.
Yeah, there you go.
And but I got the film, and I was going to try and do both, but... I couldn't because the film days were so long that, you know, even by 6, 7 o'clock, whatever, I wouldn't be able to make it to rehearse for a play, too. It would just be... So, but I was getting paid for the movie, so, you know, I told the director, he was mad because I told him I was going to be late. He was not going to have that one bit. And I understood, and I wasn't trying to, but I said, hey, you know, they're paying me for the movie. I'm sorry.
Yep, you got to go where the payday is.
That's right. And
everybody's
got to
eat.
And I said, and this is a great opportunity. You know, I'm going to be working with Robert Wagner, Woody Harrelson, Antonio Banderas, Tom Sizemore. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Lolita Davidovich.
It was like...
So that was a great opportunity, but they film here... You know, all the time. But I made more money behind the camera than I did in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's usually the case a lot of the time. Like, I worked on the first extra job I got.
Plus, I got more work.
Was like 1982. Was on the film Scarface. Al Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer, directed by Brian De Palma. So that's kind of where I got my first start as far as actually working on a major motion picture.
Right.
But, you know, it's like once you've been on one set, you just want to keep working it. I mean, when you get bit by the bug, that's it. You're done. You're just history. You're not walking away from it. You might take a little break, but you're always going to be there.
Right.
It's just too darn fun. I always have a lot of fun on set.
I worked pretty consistent when I was, I got burned out on it. You know, and plus I want to get in, you know, I want to be doing stuff like this, being on radio, being on television. I want to be in front of the camera now, not behind the camera. I've done all that already, you know, so which is great, but it keeps you working. That's the thing. Production, you make good money. And if you can do a lot of things, I've even done precision driving for The Mexican with Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts, and what's that one guy from The Sopranos? What's his name?
I know who you're talking about. I see his face. I can't think of his name.
Doggone it. I can't think of it either. But anyway, it's him. He's in it, and we're in the scene with, and I got a story with that, too. Where they're driving down the freeway, and it's in the green bug because she drives a green, new style Volkswagen, a lime green.
Yeah, that's
so doing off the freeway, and we were working with the stunt guys, and you know, on the freeway in traffic and doing stuff like that. So I've done stuff like that, and you know, it pays good. You can do anything if you can do anything. I've started in something. As even a PA, and next thing I know, I'm doing props the next day. It's just the way it goes.
Well, that's good. You know, it gives you, I mean, the more cross training that you can get, the better to securing more work.
I think it's important to learn the business. I mean,
absolutely.
You need to know how it works and pay some dues. You know, I don't know if that's what it's called. I think it's just part of the process for me. I mean, it's helped me. That was my first goal, and I love the business. Not my first goal, but one of the major goals within the business was certainly to learn it, not just, you know what I mean.
And well, it's like I worked as a, when I first got back here, I found the production assistant position open for a short film called Revealed in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And it was produced by Sight Films, Cy Hudson, writer-director. I did PA work for her on that little short. And then the next year, which was last September, I believe it was, she called me back up and asked me if I would be the Georgia area producer for her next short called The Sadie Special.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I wasn't going to turn that down. Now it gives
right.
me now I have... even though it's just a short film, but now if you go on IMDb, I have a transportation captain credit for The Drop with John Savage and Sean Young, production assistant credit for Revealed, and now a producer credit for The Sadie Special. So, again, it goes back to what you were saying, just networking and making connections.
Right. You have to. I mean, that's how they all... I mean, I think... That's some part of it that I kind of don't like because it gets to be a little too superficial at times, and you know.
Some of it reminds me of little Chamber of Commerce mixers, you know.
You know, well, yeah. I mean, I guess it's similar to that, you know, to a degree, I guess. But yeah, I mean, in those kinds of, and I've done it all, the mixers, and you know what I'm talking about, and you know, all kinds of different. Settings like that, and that's just the way it is.
Yep. Well, anybody out there is listening, give us a call at 888-815-9756. Talk to myself or James on No Biz Like Show Biz right here on www.bbsradio.com.
So I hope everybody's enjoying these personal stories because these are great stories.
And the thing about them is they're true.
That's exactly right.
We're not fishermen here. These are true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I did catch a 10-pound bass about 3 years ago. I got it stuffed right here in my office. So.
Okay.
I mean, isn't trying to get in the entertainment industry like fishing, trying to catch that big fish, trying to get it on the hook?
Yeah.
You get a bite or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, so. But you just keep on, you just keep on keeping on. You don't stop.
Yeah. That's why I said, you know, it's in your blood. I mean, if it's something that you really enjoy. And, you know, we just went and saw a play last night. It's called Sheer Madness. Sheer Madness. And it's a, it was down here at the town square. Beautiful new town square down here at South Las Vegas Boulevard. Down further from the Strip, it's brand new. It's probably 4 years old, I guess, maybe. But it's like a little town, and they have the play in some kind of building over there. But they have a lot of shops and restaurants, and you can just walk through it. It's kind of like a people street throughout this whole little town. It's really kind of neat. But anyway, and it just started. It's only been going for like a week.
Wow.
Very intimate setting. Intimate setting with the chairs, you know, not a big, huge, hall type, not even that big. Smaller than that. Large room. So I assume you were, you know, fairly close. That'd give you, and then there was interaction with the audience. It was a hair salon that was here in Las Vegas. They kept it local. And during the customers coming in and all the talk, and there's a gay guy that's a hairdresser, and then another lady that's the chewing gum hair manicurist, and blah blah blah. And my point is that so all this drama takes part as well as a murder. So as they take a break, and the guy that plays the police, one of the detectives, tells everybody to remember everything. Because they're going to have a question and answer type session, you know, on solving this crime and who murdered. Because several of them went out the doors to do this or that at the same time. So there was audience interaction throughout this thing, and they had people would say, hey, well, what about this or what about that? She was on the phone, and you know, this one was doing that. So it was interesting. But they were just starting out, for a week.
So, do you still go over to the bootlegger?
Do stuff like that all the time. No, I haven't been over there recently. I have not been over there recently.
Is Lorraine still lieutenant governor for Nevada?
No.
No.
No, it's a new gentleman. They got voted in, I guess, that won that election. So I guess he's been there probably a couple of years now, it's been. But I did like her. I like
very nice lady.
Very business. She said the same thing, and I agreed when I was speaking to her. And she was talking. There was other people there, too, of course. But she said that the government is a business. It should be run like a business, like it should be. It's not all this little tit for tat games and stuff like that. But anyway, she was a very respected lady.
Yep. I enjoyed doing the karaoke there at her club, the Bootlegger.
But, we used to go up there and sing Clint Holmes and a lot of talent, a lot of shows, the Ink Spots and the Platters and the Coasters and all these guys that have the shows all around.
I just thought it was so good, so
like
amazing that they...
To have fun and just do what they want and hang out and, you get to sing with them.
That's what I liked about it. You had A-list performers from some of the major shows on the Strip there in Vegas coming and performing in karaoke with regular folks.
Exactly.
That was a good mix.
You're right. It was fun. It was definitely fun. They're not there anymore. Kelly used to do it on Monday nights. So she's moved on. I think she's married Clint Holmes now.
Yeah, Tony Bennett told him it was coming.
Huh?
Tony Bennett told him it was coming.
Oh. When?
when Clint and her interviewed Tony Bennett on their TV show.
Yeah. they did?
Never mind. But if anybody's out there listening, if you want to call in and talk to James or myself, 1-888-815-9756.
Yep. So anyway, it's really quieted down up there, but I haven't been up there lately. But I've been to a few other spots around town. In fact, I was just over at the Ellis Island. We were over there after a show one night, and Joey, this one guy speaking, and this is still in the business. This guy can sing. Randy, I know you've heard him. You would remember him probably if you saw him, but he's got his hair slicked back, kind of a regular-looking Italian guy, but he could do Billy Joel better than I do. And I do Billy Joel pretty good, and I'm not saying, that I'm the best in the world or whatever, but believe me, I can do Billy Joel, and I do pretty good. People have told me, regular people, I don't even know. God, that sounds better than Billy Joel. But Joey sounds, he was doing Ambrosia. Boy, that kid can sing. But here's a guy who won't touch it. I've tried. Joey, man, you got it, man. You can, let's make some music. You could go places. I mean, you got a great voice. But he just shies away. He don't want no part of it. So, you have those guys. It's amazing. He's got a gift. This man can sing. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I've seen that in a lot of places. I mean, all across the country, from karaoke from Hollywood to Vegas to Dallas, Texas to San Antonio to Oklahoma, Enid, Oklahoma. Everywhere I've been, I've experienced singers too that if I had my own record label, I guarantee I'd be trying to sign those vocals.
Right. Yeah, it's just when I've heard music. Just like yours or other people that, we know, and even a kid I've heard recently, I mean, writes the stuff and sings it, and it's even rappy, you know, it's kind of a rap, but it's got some great melody and harmony to it, and it's a great, it's positive lyrics, you know, it's really good stuff. I was surprised. And, you know, it's like, this stuff is, you know, great. Why isn't it on the radio? You know, it's just not being connected, man. It truly is. It's just, you know, if you're not in that clique.
Yeah, well, it goes back to that.
Playing,
you know,
the game, you know, and unless you've gotten a lucky break, you know, with good people, and you can. But other than that, man, it's one hell of a game.
Well, it goes back to medium and large market radio stations being dictated and governed by Clear Channel and the major record labels.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an indie artist, you're not going to get no airplay. It's just simple. They lock you out.
Yeah.
They don't let you in. So you just have to create your own way and go around them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really doesn't matter that much. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, I want them. In fact, I've got a guy here in my hometown. He's been chasing after me for the last 2 years, want me to help him get to Nashville and get an album recorded. But the problem is, I do not even know if the boy can sing. I've never heard him, and I've been, you know, every time he sees me for the last 2 years, hey, man, take me to Nashville. Well, every time I ask him for a demo recording, you know, I got to hear you sing or go to karaoke with me one night, get up on stage and sing. I have to hear you. I can't
right.
just pitch you and promote you until I know what you sound like.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if it's if he really wants it or if he's just would like to do it, but maybe he's afraid of it. I don't know the deal. But out of 2 years of knowing him, I've yet to hear him sing the first time.
Right.
And he's the right age.
Right.
I could push him to the majors. I try to stray him away from the majors. He's 23 years old. He's still right on that cusp where he, if he is good enough, he could get signed.
Uh-huh.
And that would be good for me because I would manage him if he were good enough, and then they would buy him out of my contract, which would be monetarily advantageous to me because, you know, that's how the business works. Everybody's buying everybody out of everybody's contract. You know, God forbid an unknown manager find a good
right.
singer.
If the price is right.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not attached to anything. You want my 2007 Dodge Ram pickup truck, you give me enough money and give me a ride home, it's yours.
Right.
I don't care. I ain't attached to nothing. I sell anything I got. But, you know, it's just, again, it's a business. It's the way it is. If you pick up a good singer in Vegas, you know some of the top powers that be, they'll eventually be looking for you. Hey, how much are you going to cost to get him or her out of your contract?
Uh-huh.
You know, that's practiced every day in the music business because nobody wants anybody to have the top talent.
Right.
Especially if they've got the monetary ability behind them to finance everything. And then I keep telling, I'm telling this kid, I've yet to even hear him sing. But every time he sees me, let's
right.
go to Nashville. Take me to Nashville. Got to hear you sing first.
Right.
Next time I think I'm going to tell him straight up, look, just sing a cappella right here on the doggone street. Just do it. I got to hear you. Because you can't, you know, you can't send somebody to Nashville or anything if you don't know where their talent lies. They may
right.
they may need, you know, you may need to work with them a little bit. They may need to fine-tune them.
Right. They need to be ready and have some songs ready.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time here. Got about 4 or 5 minutes left. If anyone's listening, want to call in and make us comment or just say howdy. Call 1-888-815-9756. But we're going to do our best to pull you callers in next week. We need you, boys. We need you guys to call in.
Right. And we're going to be adding stuff to the show every week, such as we're going to do the Las Vegas tip of the week. Maybe share something that if anybody's coming out to Las Vegas, and you're looking for a deal, because the way the economy is right now and the way stuff is going on, there are a lot of great deals out there. As I said, I even go to the shows for free. So, and there's a lot of things that you can take advantage of that a lot of people don't know about that we'll be sharing.
And James can be your Las Vegas tour guide.
Exactly. I'm the real Mr. Las Vegas.
There you go. I mean, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people call it lost wages. There's more to do in Las Vegas than throw your money away in a slot machine. Trust me, there's a lot more to do.
That's right. This is, I mean, it doesn't matter what you want to do. Okay, so this week's Las Vegas tip of the week is, and I think I mentioned this to you, Randall. I don't know that, I think I did, I told you about it, the Excalibur.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so, well, there's the first one. This one is, you know, for $25. You can eat all day long at their buffet. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I mean, you can't go out. You and your wife can't go out most places and eat for $25 all day long.
Right.
It's a possibility.
As much as you want, all you can eat. Buffet.
I mean, on the way back from Asheville, North Carolina, my wife and I, we stopped at a little barbecue place outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, on the way back home, and it cost us $28 just to eat barbecue ribs. And, of course, I forgot what she ordered, but I was too busy eating the ribs. But, I mean, that was almost $30 right there, and that's just one meal.
Right, and there's a lot of good deals like that. I'll have some more that I don't care whether seafood, steaks, prime rib, whatever. There's still a lot of great deals on the meals, free slot play, all that kind of stuff, shows. I even just gave you a new one and gave you a review of it, of Sheer Madness. So, you know, that's
James Turner, folks. No biz like showbiz. You're a Las Vegas correspondent.
That's right, baby.
Again, hey, we only got about a minute left. If one of you bold callers out there, you just call in and say hi. You can always call in next week and talk a little bit more, but that's 1-888-815-9756. And again, if you need a website designed, www.52, and the number, it's the number 52designs.net. And tell old Tim Hayes at Randall Rutledge and James Turner sent you from No Biz Like Showbiz on www.bbsradio.com. I guess that's going to wrap it up for us this week, partner, but again, every week, James is going to have a Las Vegas tip of the week for you. I'll see what I can dig up for you this week, and tune in until next week. Any closing thoughts there, James?
Well, just keep, hopefully if somebody's listening and they haven't called in next week. We're going to be sharing a lot more information on the business, as well as sharing our experiences every day as we're doing it. And you're getting it live from the guys who are doing it right now. We're living the business, living the dream, just like you. So look forward to hearing from you.
All righty. Maybe next week somebody will call in. And, again, this is No Biz Like Showbiz. And, as always, keep on dreaming.